Hi everybody, it's Mrs. Croach, third grade teacher, and I'm super excited, get it, super excited, to read chapter 2 from our book, Almost Super. Chapter 2, I'm always afraid of getting lava down my tights. I didn't cry. I wanted to, and I left the living room because I was worried I would start, but I never did. I got to my room, closed the door, and pulled at my hair. 10 seconds later, Mom was there, knocking on my door. Rafter, come on out, honey. I stared at the door and fought down the tears. 13-year-olds don't cry, and superheroes definitely don't. But then again, I wasn't exactly a superhero. Come on, sweetie, Mom said. Everybody's waiting. I'd rather not come out, Mom, I said, keeping my voice steady. I think I'd like a little alone time. Rafter, don't make me count to 10, she said, her voice firm. I closed my eyes and hoped Mom was joking. I wasn't 6. 1. And with that, I knew she'd won. I refused to be treated like a child. I steeled myself, marched to the door, and opened it. I walked past Mom and made my way to the living room. My relatives sat there, as quiet as spectators at a golf game. 5 minutes earlier, an excited buzz had filled the room. Now there was just awkward silence. Benny looked as miserable as I felt. He sat on the bench, his head resting in his hands. This morning, the world was ours for the taking. We were going to be heroes. I focused on walking to the piano. I didn't look at anyone. Okay, boys, Dad said, and I heard the same firmness in his voice that I'd just heard from Mom. I know you may not have gotten the exact power you wanted, but that's no excuse for moping around. When I was your age, I wanted to be a human torch. I loved to start things on fire and watch them burn. All that heat and crackling and power. One time when I was 8, I took some matches, some WD-40, and a stack of old tractor tires. Dear, Mom said, I don't think we need to go into that right now. Dad stopped. Oh, right, of course. Let me go on the record saying it's never safe to play with matches. And Smokey the Bear really knows his stuff. He cleared his throat. Anyway, I didn't get the power I wanted, but flying has worked out just fine. Whatever powers you have, you'll learn to use them in the fight against the Johnsons. He shook his fist. Relatives murmured their agreement and mumbled under their breath about the rottenness of the Johnsons. I kept my eyes on the floor. Benny, Dad said, you got your power first. What is it? What is your ability? My brother dropped his gaze to his lap. His voice sounded sad. I don't think you want to know. Yes, Dad said firmly, I do. Well, I don't think I want to tell you. Nonsense, Dad boomed, as if he were making a speech for citizens and not his son. The universe has chosen you and me, all of us, to become superheroes. Dad pointed a finger high into the air. We don't know why the universe chose us. We don't even know where these powers come from, and we certainly can't pretend to understand why they come on February 29th at 4:23 in the afternoon. Several relatives nodded vigorously. But we use these powers for good, Dad said. Always for good. We fight evil wherever it may rear its ugly head. We are Baileys. We are superheroes. Dad paused for dramatic effect, and then, in the most commanding superhero voice he could muster, he said, Benjamin Sinclair Bailey, what superpower do you have that will aid us in this fight? Benny looked up at Dad. Complete silence settled over the room. Benny's voice was a whisper, but it carried to every person in the room. I can turn my belly button from an innie to an Audi. Nobody said anything for a full 10 seconds. Then everyone started yelling at once, "That's not a superpower! Surely you're mistaken! Is it high-powered? Can you shoot out belly button lint? Curious, very curious." "Quiet!" Dad's voice broke through the shouting, and my family settled down. Everyone looked around in disbelief, but all eyes eventually fell on Benny. He returned their gaze with a face carved of stone. Then, without breaking eye contact, he lifted his shirt. He had a normal-looking belly button, an innie. With a soft pop, his belly button popped out of his stomach. It was still ordinary-looking, but now it was an outie. Was all Dad could manage. Mom asked, "Can you change it back?" With a pop, Benny's belly button retreated back inside his stomach like a frightened turtle. Benny pulled his shirt down. "Ta-da," he said weakly. I looked at my brother, and for a moment our eyes met. He looked disappointed. No, not just disappointed. Full of complete and utter despair, like he'd been broken. I knew exactly how he felt. Everyone was staring at us, but I didn't care. I put my arm around my little brother, and I gave his shoulder a squeeze. "We'll figure this out," I said, low enough that only Benny could hear. I didn't know if we would figure this out. I didn't even know if there was anything to figure out. But I had to say something. "Rafter, honey?" Mom said, and I heard a nervous lilt in her voice. "What about you? What's your power?" I didn't know exactly how to describe it. I decided a demonstration would be better. I took a deep breath. "Dad, can you get me a couple of matches?" I asked. "Oh," Dad said, "you got a firepower. Lucky you." "Yeah, lucky me." Dad left to get matches. I scooted down the piano bench so I could be within arm's length of the couch. Dad returned. "Here you go." He dropped a dozen matches into my hand. I took a deep breath. "These matches are the kind that you could only strike on the box, right?" Dad nodded. "Safety first, that's a family motto." There wasn't any way to make it sound incredible, so I just said it. "I can also strike them on polyester." I took a match, leaned over, and slid it along the couch. The match flared to life. I let it burn for a few seconds, and then I blew it out. Every superhero in the room stared at me. "Only polyester?" Mom asked, her voice small in the silence of the room. I slid a new match along the leather seat of the piano bench. Nothing. I slid it along my shirt. Nothing. "Yep." Dad walked over and plucked a match from my hand. He struck it several times along the couch. No fire. He passed it to me. I flicked it against the couch, and the match burst into flames. Uncle Chambers cleared his throat. William, he said to Dad, "I've got several leisure suits back at the house, made from high-quality polyester, if you need them." Aunt Verna stood, and then, as if on cue, everyone started to get up. A few people muttered congratulations, but I knew nobody really meant it. I heard Dad mumbling to himself. "I wonder if the other cousins..." He got up, pulled his phone out of his pocket, and left the room. Rodney started to follow him, then stopped. "Don't worry, guys," he said. "Maybe I can design some special weapons on my computer, you know, to make up for your..." He looked uncomfortable, then left without finishing. Somehow, Rodney treating me like a weakling, like a regular citizen, made me feel like I'd been punched in the stomach. In a family where your power is everything, Benny and I had just moved to the bottom of the pile. We were nobodies. I put my elbows on my knees and my head in my hands. Mom pulled Great Aunt Sylvia Matilda away from the fireplace. The movement caused her to burp, sending out a small flash of yellow flame. "Even Great Aunt Sylvia Matilda's belching is more powerful than we are," Benny mumbled. I stared at the floor and listened as my relatives put on their coats, gathered children from outside, and headed to their cars. Soon, the only noise was the ticking of the clock. I barely noticed. When Grandpa spoke, I almost fell off the bench. I thought he'd left with the others, but he still sat in the easy chair, his feet resting on an ottoman. "Look at you two boys," he said, "sitting on that bench, sniffling and pining away like a couple of namby-pambies." I didn't know what pining meant, but I could guess. It might sound like I've got the meanest grandpa in the world, but that's just his style. He'll step in and help you when you really need it, but if you've got a hangnail or a small splinter, he's probably not the best guy to go to for sympathy. He'll likely just whack you on the back of the head and tell you to stop your belly aching. "You saw what happened, Grandpa," Benny said. "We got worthless powers. The only thing I can do is pop out my navel half an inch." Grandpa snorted and then puckered his lips, his white mustache reaching up toward his nose. "I'm going to let you boys in on a little secret," he said. "I've been alive for almost 65 years now. I've thought a lot about these powers our family gets. What I've noticed is that these powers don't make us super. Technically, if you want to get right down to it, we're all just a bunch of freaks. I mean, what normal person breathes fire out of their mouth? That's something you'd expect to see in a circus or a heartburn commercial, not in real life." Grandpa put his feet on the floor. "Listen," he said. "Do you know what the Latin root for super is?" I shook my head. "The root of super is soup," Grandpa said, "which means tasty liquid." He paused. "Wait, that doesn't sound right. Actually, forget the Latin. Let's get to English. The definition of super is above or beyond." Now, I don't know anybody who can pop their belly button in and out, Benny, nor do I know anybody who can strike a match without having to leave the comfort of the couch. Those abilities are above and beyond what is natural, and therefore, you boys have superpowers. "Yeah, but Grandpa," I started. "No buts," Grandpa said. "End of story. However, like I was saying a moment ago, having a superpower doesn't make you a superhero. That you have to earn." I didn't understand at all. "Did you know," Grandpa said, "that sometimes, not always, but sometimes, we Baileys get a power that makes up for a weakness?" Grandpa kicked the ottoman to the side and leaned forward in his chair. He shook a wrinkled finger at me and Benny. "Take your cousin Jack, for instance. His power has saved this family many times. The Johnsons," Grandpa shook his fist, "have this pesky lady that can shoot lava. She's a real problem. You're minding your own business. Maybe you have a Johnson in a headlock and you're beating on him, right? And the next thing you know, you've got hot lava flying around your head. I'll be honest, I'm always afraid of getting lava down my tights." Benny stifled a snort next to me. Grandpa didn't notice. "Jack sprays the lava with his water, turns it into harmless pebbles. Darndest thing I've ever seen." Grandpa rubbed his chin. "But I was making a point, and now I've gone and forgotten it. Let's see. Oh, yes. Did you know that Jack is terrified of fire?" That didn't sound right. Superheroes weren't afraid of anything. "Didn't you see him when the drapes were all smoking and a-crackling?" Grandpa asked. "He stood there like a skunk caught in an outhouse. I had to yell and wake him up. If he's not focused, his fear gets the best of him. He's been afraid of fire since the day he was born. You should see the video from Jack's first birthday party. His mother lights the candle on the cake and puts it in front of him. Little Jack throws a fit and he pushes the whole cake off the table. Screams like a baby the entire time." Actually, I guess he was a baby, so that makes sense. "Anyways, it's the darndest thing I've ever seen." "I thought Jack squirting lava with his water was the darndest thing you've ever seen," I said. Grandpa ignored me. Benny folded his arms across his chest. "So I can push my belly button in and out, and that's going to help make up for some weakness I have?" Grandpa looked hard at Benny. Haven't you heard a word I've been saying? He asked. It's not the powers that make us superheroes. It's what we do with those powers. He stood up. You want to be a superhero? You have to earn it. I'm only going to say this once because you boys are smart enough to get it on the first go around. When evil has you whipped and you don't have an ounce of strength left in your tired old bones, when everybody around you has given up or is cowering in fear, when you're down on your knees and the only one sure thing is death, when all is lost and hope is nowhere to be found. Grandpa leaned over, his face level with Benny's and mine. At that horrible moment, a superhero stands, turns so he can look evil right in the eyes, and says, "Is that the best you can do?" Grandpa straightened up, iron resolve, ferocious courage, and a healthy dose of insanity. That's what makes a superhero, not some amazing power. Grandpa turned and left the room. I went to bed early, and Benny did too. The clock on our nightstand read 8:19. Frost on the window turned the landscape outside sparkly and sharp. The moon hung high in the sky, giving a pale white glow to the snow-covered yard. My brain raced. Ever since my 10th birthday, I've been preparing for this day, preparing to become super, fight the Johnsons, and most of all, save the day. You couldn't save the day with matches and polyester. I heard Benny get out of bed. He was looking through one of his drawers. What are you doing? I sat up in bed. Benny pulled out a marble. I just thought of something, he said. What if my belly button is high-powered? It does pop out pretty quick. What if I plugged it up with this marble and then shot it out? If it came out like a bullet, that could be something useful. He lifted his shirt and stuck the marble into his belly button. It promptly fell back out. Dang it, Benny exclaimed. It's not exactly staying in. Benny tried several times to get the marble to stay in his navel. Try lying on your back, I said, and then put the marble on top of your belly button. That way gravity will hold it in place. But how can I shoot anybody if I'm lying on my back? Benny asked. I can only point it straight up. I shrugged. Just try it. Benny got down on the floor and lay on his back. I guess I could always pretend to be knocked out, and then when a Johnson leans over to gloat, I could shoot him. Lifting his shirt, Benny placed the marble carefully on his belly button. It glistened in the darkness. Okay, Benny said. Here goes nothing. I heard a soft pop. The marble flipped up about 2 inches and then fell harmlessly to the floor and rolled under the bed. Dang it! Benny sat up and his shoulders slumped. It was a good try, I said. It was some good superhero thinking. I wanted it to work, Benny said, because otherwise we're in huge trouble. What do you mean? I asked. Benny climbed back in bed. His next words dropped a bucket of ice down the back of my pajamas. Juanita Johnson. Benny and I attend Split Rock Middle School. Dad says that we'll learn the important stuff during our superhero studies, but we go to school so we can blend in with the citizens of the community. The problem is, so does Juanita Johnson, supervillain. I'd never liked the idea of having to go to school with a supervillain. She was in the 8th grade with me, but I'd always figured that no matter what power she got, Benny and I could stand together. But now, she got her power today, too, I said. Yeah, Benny said, but we can still handle her, right? I didn't answer. Juanita and I had a class together, algebra. School was about to get dangerous. I'd started drifting off when I heard my parents talking in the next room. The walls in our house are pretty solid, so could only hear a few words here and there. But a few words were enough. 6 nephews and nieces, Oak City, Farmington, Trenton, none of them got a real power. Nobody knows. I didn't hear anything for a few minutes, but then Dad spoke 2 words that cut through the darkness. completely worthless. It took a long time to fall asleep.